Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. I'm joined, as always, by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How you doing, Cody?
Doing well, Pat.
You're at home. I'm at a hotel writing a book. We are remote today, so we're doing this over Zoom.
That's right.
But what's our title today, Cody? What's our topic?
It's called Burn Your Business Card.
That's right. Burn your business cards. And I don't think we think you should do that literally, although frankly, business cards are less relevant than they've ever been. What we're really here to talk about are things like job titles and job descriptions and business cards, which go with that, and how they really limit teamwork, innovation, opportunity, and productivity. And we've learned that over the last year in our own company, and it has freed us up so much. And it's one of those things that speaks to the working genius stuff that we've been doing, but just in general, having these limitations around what our responsibilities are prevent us from doing what we can.
Yeah. And in some ways, this podcast is born out of this like really interesting experience we have where people ask us, not people internally, but people outside say, so what do you do there? What's your title there? And we place so little emphasis on titles in our 12-person company that it's almost hard to answer people. You know, I just had a group say like, can you send us a bio in your title? And I kind of like froze up and I was like, I don't even really know what that is, but we have to put something on there because it's so commonplace. What we're talking about is the burn your business card. Maybe that's a little tongue in cheek because business cards can be helpful to the outside world. But internally, these titles and what it says at the bottom of your email might be helping or keeping people in silos more than it is helping them innovate and work as a team.
Right. You know, and it's not that we're like in some self-righteous way, like we hate titles. We're so wonderful that we have an egalitarian approach. What it is it actually prevented us from being fluid. Now, yes, sometimes somebody on the outside needs to know, who do I call when I need help? So you go like, okay, this is that person's job responsibilities. And our young employees, their friends are like, so what's your title? And they're like, hey, you guys, do I have a title? I'm like, well, let's make one up so you can tell people at a cocktail party. But the truth of the matter is our opposition is not symbolic. It's actually very real. We don't ever want somebody to say, hey, I don't have permission to flow into that area if I'm gifted or if there's a need. And the more we've embraced that, the more we're getting more work done, we're enjoying the work, and people are figuring out how to contribute.
Yeah, and I would imagine that some people are listening to this like, you guys are insane. And I would say mostly in the context of, I'm sure there's a level or a number of employees that you have to have below a certain amount so you can do this. Like certainly at a huge corporation where you need someone that like is across departments that you've never met before that works remotely, you need to know where to send your question or your...
Because they're like a customer, really.
Right. But really, I mean, that's kind of the same thing it kind of proves the point is that when it's for other people to know, you know, in a sense, that's an outside person. If you don't know people
that's
collectively.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
And so what I found really interesting in our work is you know, you do, we put you out on stage when you're doing a speech like founder and president of the table group, but internally you function as the leader across our business. And certainly that corresponds, but you see this other thing happening with titles where people put like chief catalyst, or they start to make up, you know, new words, which I think the sentiment there is right. It's sort of aligned with what we're trying to say is like, what is it that you actually do? Without limiting you with these boundaries or these silos that say like I work in HR or I work for the marketing department.
Right. If I had to, I would probably say I'm the chief culture, strategy, writing, and speaking officer. But then I have other responsibilities and some days it changes and some days I have to respond to others' needs. But we don't even feel the need to say that because, and again, we're talking about within a company, a smallish company, medium-sized company, or within your team, within your family, like people say, I'm the dad, I'm the mom. What does that mean? Well, on any given day, it can change. And some moms are great at some things and some dads are great at others. And it doesn't correspond to what people think. And so trying to over-prescribe these things is a really bad idea.
Right. And And one of the ways that we think about this, or a conversation that we have that's related to this, is this idea of moral versus formal authority, right? Sometimes people think I need a title on my business card to give me some level of formal authority over the people I lead or the people in my department. And without titles, there's this bigger emphasis on the sort of the moral authority, like our willingness to hold one another accountable around the projects or endeavors that we're working on. You know, it's less of a, oh, go talk to the boss about this, and more of a, hey, if we're collectively aligned around what's the most important thing, any and all of us should be pushing one another in that direction. And so the idea that we have this like hierarchy based on what's on your business card, it actually stifles some of that energy and momentum and even innovation at times.
You know, it's funny. I really think, Cody, this came about because of the Working Genius. Because one day you said, I think this might be the end of job titles and departments. And that's kind of what this gets at. And I was just thinking, and by the way, a quick commercial, we are about to launch a podcast for people that are really interested in the Working Genius, because just to go deep on all that stuff, and there'll be all kinds of guests in our company, and we'll explore things that'll be good for like personality junkies and people that love teams and that kind of stuff. Also, we are going to be launching very soon for people that want to get certified in teaching this to others and using it with teams. And I'm going to be teaching the first few courses. So you'll be hearing about that soon. And if you want to send us an email, podcast@tablegroup.com, you could say, put me on the list because I want to get certified in Working Genius. But the thing about Working Genius is, I actually think if somebody said, what's your job description, Pat? I would probably say, well, at my company, I do a lot of inventing and discerning. And when I need to, I have to galvanize and wonder. And only when it's necessary do they make me do enablement and tenacity, but right. I have to do it sometimes. I mean, honestly, I think those six words help people realize, oh, that's what you do.
Right. And you do that across all of our business units. I mean, you've sort of—
So do you.
Yes. You've sort of tongue-in-cheek before either this podcast or another event called me the chief galvanizing officer, because that's the form and function of my role at the company, is to go across, you know, take the inventions and the ones that we've discerned, and then go rally the troops around those things, you know. Right. And the only problem with putting chief galvanizer officer on a business card is nobody else externally knows what that means. And I think that therein lies some of the problem, is like, we need to know internally what they bring to the table based on their gifts and skills and talents. And externally, people just need an email address and who is the right person, you know?
Right. We need to speak to them in language that they can understand. We got to meet them where they're at. But internally, it is all about how can we best tap into the skills that everybody has in a way that serves the team optimally. The other thing about this is, gosh, it's crazy. And I'm working with a wonderful organization where we were keeping people in their boxes around their titles. And as a result, they had so much more to offer, and nobody ever thought to ask them to do something that they would enjoy, because they thought they were violating their boundaries by asking them to do something outside of their job description. And they were actually begging to contribute in ways that were more fulfilling to them at times. And we weren't doing it because we thought it was, I mean, we were literally with good intentions, keeping them from fully utilizing their skills.
Yeah, it too much puts people in a box. And I don't want this to morph too much into a Working Genius podcast, because we've done a number of those, but there's one story that you and I told on an internal thing that we did, but we haven't said this, is a story of, you know, Chris, who's been on this podcast a number of times. Like, he had a client where they had a director of sales who for a long time was trying to come up with a new sales strategy for this company. She was brilliant at her job, a great cultural fit, was fantastic at serving their clients and, you know, account executive in that sense. But for a while, they couldn't come up with what is the sales strategy that's going to help us close this gap. And what's amazing about this story is they did the Working Genius. They found out that almost no one on the sales team had invention. So they reached across departments to another department and found someone who had invention that I think was like not even a totally different business unit. I don't even remember right. where it was, but not related to sales.
And that's the point.
And they put them in a room together for 3 hours. And in 3 hours, they had a plan that they were all excited about. They thought was, you know, the anecdote for some of the stuff that they had been dealing with. And everyone walked out of the room having like the account executives knew exactly how to execute against the plan. The person with invention came in and felt great because they got to participate in creating something out of nothing that served the organization. And that's when it was after that story that I thought, like, man, I think departmental lines and business silo, you know, business unit silos should go away in some ways. Like it can't just be a collection of individuals at large companies, but if you on your business card, if it said, you know, you're an inventor discerner, we should pull you in anytime we can that where we need that.
Well, and think about this. Here was that was this woman at this company. She was, they hired her to be the vice president of sales, and she was killing it. And she was great at that. And she was a cultural fit and they loved her. And then they got to a moment that was outside of her genius. And intelligent, well-intentioned people will do that instead of saying, hey, what about going and grabbing somebody that actually can fill in the gaps? She only needs those gaps filled in like 3 hours a quarter. She's awesome otherwise. But her title said, you're the vice president of sales. So that means you need to come up with strategy. You need to execute that strategy. You need to make your people happy. You need to make clients happy. Who in the world can do it all? It's like saying, we always talk about somebody that says, would that person be a good head of marketing or finance? And it's like, well, it depends what you want them to do.
Right.
And there is no such thing as a great head of marketing. There is no such thing as a great accountant. It's depending on how you look at their job. And those titles too often lead us to make assumptions about what that entails. And you take it all the way to the CEO level. I am the CEO of our company. But if you put me in an organization where the implication of being a CEO was all about task and all about keeping people on target and hitting our numbers, I would be a colossal failure. Thankfully, we have people in the organization who fill in my gaps. I still have to make sure it gets done, but I don't have to do it all.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Early on, we had a conversation with a group that creates some software around project teams, right? So they pull people into different projects based on that they have a new endeavor. And you know, a lot of organizations do the agile or scrum, you know, thing, and they're borrowing resources from different departments. And it goes to the job description thing. Before, we used to place so much emphasis on, hey, show me your resume and what your title was, and let's create a team around titles and resumes and past experience, you know?
Right.
And that they had a hard time sort of putting together a team for a given project or a given meeting that could really work well together. And I think in part because people put so much emphasis on titles and figuring out like what was on their cover letter or what experience did they have in the past. I think this particular person was like, we used to just know that like that person worked on a visa project, but what did they do? And what did they like, not only what they did, but what did they come alive to do in the midst of that project? And so I think that, you know, this is really something that I know it might be limited a little bit to smaller groups and teams.
You know, I was just about to say, Cody, I don't think so. I think this applies slightly differently, but even in larger organizations, especially internally, I think people should have business cards and titles that are partially blank. And so when people say, because really what those are for is like, who should I talk to about this? Or what can I ask you to do to help me? And it should be like, okay, so it has my name on it. It has my phone number on it, but there's also a blank. And people said, give me your card. And it's like, okay, why do you think you're asking me for this card? Well, because I want to talk to somebody about this. Okay, great. I'm going to fill in marketing operations, email campaign. I'm the right person.
Yep.
But otherwise, when I find out that I'm not the right person, I'm going to write somebody else's name on my blank business card and their phone number and the context. And I'm going to give you that so you can find them.
Man, you know, even as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the way we do customer service at Table Group, which is so interesting because we do have one person who answers the phone, but she intuitively starts to solve people's questions by figuring out who do we connect them with. Like, so it's like, if it's more consultative and people need, and we don't have any formal parameters around this, it's just like, oh, you should talk to Matt about that question, or you should talk to Cody about that question. In some way, we're all in customer service, but only as it relates to who we are on the team. And
yes, and exactly.
Even earlier today, I was on a call with Jackie, who's technically on her business card, it might say in charge of speaking, but the call was such that it made sense for me to join her and to figure out what we should do in that context. And so I just think that when we're able to eliminate the sort of formal lines, we can be far more effective and far more innovative and even serve our constituents and clients better as a result.
You know, what's interesting. We've talked in the past about, you know, people not sitting in offices and people sitting at tables together rather than at separate desks and keeping their laptop closed. I think it goes down to this too. All of those things are wonderful, but if we look at people and see them having really defined boundaries, it doesn't work. Just last night, I was on a call. I can't believe this. This is crazy, Cody. That's why I love these podcasts, because we get to talk about stuff that's going on. And I was with an organization, and the primary activity that they do is coaching people, leaders. But not everybody is a coach. And what we realized at the end of the call is, like, they have hundreds and hundreds of clients that they coach. And I said, you know something? Every employee should have at least one client that they coach. Because the truth is, if we all understand what that means, then we can help one another and we can relate to what we need. And it doesn't mean we'll go about it in exactly the same way. But as long as we see people saying, yeah, I don't know what it means to coach people, but I help people in this one little area, we're never going to have the fluidity. Now, that doesn't mean everybody should be doing exactly the same thing. The real coaches have 20 clients. Mm-hmm. But if everybody knew what that meant, then when somebody called in and said, I need help, rather than saying, well, there's no coaches available, they'd be able to say, I can relate to you and help you solve this problem. That's not a lesson that I think you can apply universally, but in that organization, we decided everyone should know what it means to do the central activity of the organization.
Yeah. I mean, we've beat this. It is funny how different concepts
are we kicking a dead horse here?
No, I just thought that we talked about even the way we organize our offices and the way you know, the conversation we had around, like, you should get promoted out of a desk and some of these, like, formal things that actually do limit and disrupt creativity and innovation and even fulfillment for our people. And so it just, I think more and more we're experimenting and uncovering the fact that some of the traditional ways that we've done things are limiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, I'm going to give everybody a recommendation. I just talked about kicking a dead horse. If you don't know who Nate Bargatze is, he's a comedian, a hilarious guy from Tennessee. He does this whole thing. You can find it on YouTube. It's great. Where he talks about seeing a dead horse alongside the road, and it is hysterical. So just put Nate Bargatze. If you can't remember how to spell it, just put B-A-R-G. He'll come up and put dead horse. It's hilarious.
And just for anyone who might be offended by that, the horse is actually, in the end, not dead. So
not dead. Yeah, yeah. We've kind of ruined the joke, but we're not laughing at a dead horse.
Yeah,
but.
Right.
So, by the way, we just want to say this. So we don't have Matt or Tracy with us today. We're flying solo. Tracy has a really bad shoulder. God bless you, Tracy. Hope we get better. And Matt's at the office holding down the fort while we're out and about. So anyway, this has been fun talking about this. You alluded to our next topic probably for a podcast, which is about really practical ways to change culture. And we'll look forward to talking about that next time. Until then, take care of yourself and God bless.